welcome to... No, I'm going to just... Do you know, my name's Adam Cook, and we have strange intros on this podcast, and if you've been following for the last couple of weeks, you'll know that I've been trying to outdo Chris White, and what I've done here is somehow made my intro really bad because I'm thinking too cleverly about Chris White. How are you, Chris?
I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. I'm good.
Did I even say my name?
Yeah, I think so. Somewhere in the noise. It was definitely there.
I've flustered myself, and you know what? I'm going to leave this all in because I'm excited to speak to you, Chris, and Adam Carroll, also here.
How are we doing?
You right, mate?
I'm good.
I'm glad to hear that. It's just three of us this week, which bodes well given how much I've cocked up already. But, you know, you chaps are well, you know, excited. Games are still happening, of course.
Oh, yes. Yeah, plenty. Plenty
Thankfully.
Of games.
Thankfully, we have got a lot to talk about, which you say every week. Listen, I actually want to just throw a little pimp out there because Adam, not me, yeah. I don't yet talk about myself in the third person. Adam Carroll,
yeah,
has some exciting news. The last time you heard him on this podcast, he was in Ireland. He's not now, are you? And we're not going to see any more than that because if you like. You know, if you want to hear what Adam has been up to and where is he? He's not in Europe anymore. That's another teaser for you. But if you like him or any of us and want to subscribe for $1 a month via patreon.com/godisageek, you'll hear the Patreon bit where we tell you where he is and he says what his adventures are like. And I'm so glad he's moved because that gives us something to talk about in the Patreon bit for, I'd say, at least a month. There's one big game, one huge game, or is it? I don't know. Chris, Metal Gear Survive, you went to preview it. That game's now out.
Yeah.
It's out. Anyone can buy it. Anyone can play it. You can play it while listening to this podcast, if that's the kind of thing you want to do. In actual fact, it might be quite a good game to play with a podcast in your earbuds.
Maybe.
Or is it, Chris? What's it like, mate?
Well, I'm enjoying it so far. There are things that are...
Well, that's us getting hate mail then.
Hey, no. Hey, if anything, I think I'm very much enjoying what I'm playing so far. The single player, which is the main bulk of the game, is very, very good so far. I think it's very Metal Gear, and I think it stayed true to the kind of...
Can I interrupt you very early on here?
No.
And ask...
No, you can't. Carry on. You can't.
No. I want to interrupt you because I want to ask a question. Because I hadn't played the betas or the whatever they were at all. Mm. I was kind of just waiting to play the final game. And the thing I was surprised about, possibly the most, and I want to ask Adam if he had the same impression. Now, Chris, I'm guessing you knew this because you went to play the preview and probably were more invested in this game because of your sort of a fan of the series. Mm. I was a bit surprised that the game itself isn't co-op. I mean, it is, but the main bulk of the game isn't co-op. Did you think that too, Adam?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. It seems like it should be. Like it would definitely have a lot more fun, because if I'm honest, I'm not truly vibing it.
Okay, but you thought it was co-op. You're the same as me.
I thought
the co-op's multiplayer, but it's like wave-based survival mode. Well, it's not even survival mode, is it really? Well, it's in that you don't want to die, but it's just a co-op mode, isn't it? It's just wave-based co-op attack.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it has elements of certain co-op game, well, certain multiplayer games like your Fortnites and that kind of thing, where you do face waves, and the point is to protect a certain area, which I'm still not sure what it is or what it does, but it's a piece of equipment that you have to protect. And in the game, the actual kind of main story game, you're meant to kind of collect kind of materials to build fencing and kind of certain walls with sandbags and that kind of thing. That's the whole point of this. You try and protect this little area and put barricades up or whatnot to stop the wave from coming in. But the problem we found was that it doesn't take long at all for the kind of horde to break down these kind of fences or whatnot, and
we were massively under level.
Yeah,
well, I presume. I mean, I don't really know.
I don't know, because the thing is that the thing that I struggled with in that was the fact that it didn't feel like we were unified with our other teammates. They seemed to just fuck about and, you know, not really. not really help, because they didn't build any barricades, I noticed, which mm-hmm. was weird. They were just, one of them was stood on the building above and just kind of looking down, staying out of harm's way and kind of picking them off from there. But the fact that they were doing that, the creatures that were, well, they're kind of like former soldiers with these crystal in their head, which turns them mental, I think. It's Metal Gear. But they were trying to pick them off, but they were all level 20, so the people that we were with weren't that high up at all, so it was even tough for them to do it. So when this massive wave are attacking you, it's very hard to defend, and there's about three waves, I think, in total, so it kind of it felt like a real challenge. It didn't even feel fair, but I'm assuming as you play the single player, because obviously they kind of interact with each other in a way where...
Yeah.
Whatever your thirst meter and your hunger meter is in the single player, you take that through to the co-op, and you also take any materials that you've got so you can build them in the workshops that are around the area.
That surprised me a little bit. It surprised me a little bit that I used all my arrows and bullets in that map we played together.
Yeah.
And then when I went back into my single player, I've used all my arrows and bullets and now I have to craft more. That took me a bit by surprise. Given that you have to load in from a hub and it's a separate thing, I kind of figured it might be...
Yes.
I don't know, loadout-based, I guess?
I think so, yeah. I think that was... I kind of knew what I was getting myself into before, because I'd obviously seen some of it at the preview. Yeah. But with the preview, you were teaming up with people who wanted to get the most out of it and find out how it worked properly when you were all kind of in tune with each other. But the one great thing about the co-op, I think, is that... Well, the multiplayer is that when you... If whether you win or not, you get a shed load of materials. You get tons
stuff,
of materials.
Yeah,
whether that be wood or metal or iron or whatever. And then also I noticed your XP, you get loads, so that when you level... Like, in the single player, you level up very gradually. But when I did that one game, I leveled up about four levels. Which was pretty remarkable, and I noticed that in the preview as well. You get a lot of XP for that, so that's kind of cool. You know, it helps you in the single player when you're going to get to a point where it's pretty difficult. But I think in terms of a Metal Gear game, the single player is very interesting. It has that quirkiness to it, but it's
because you're a big fan of Metal
Gear,
right?
Big fan,
I can't remember Adam's how he feels about Metal Gear.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
You are a big fan too.
Yeah.
And you've played this, but I appreciate you probably haven't played much because you're settling kind of thing. You've just moved.
Yeah,
you know?
not a whole bunch, but like...
But have you sat through the sort of opening couple of hours and...
Yeah.
I want to throw this out here, right? And I'm going to take the brunt of the hate mail this week then. Because as someone who likes Metal Gear games, but I would never... I'm not going to just gush about them. I think that a lot of them have issues... But I kind of feel like the people going, this isn't a Metal Gear game. I kind of get that. But I will say that intro, the story, and it does, to be fair, peters out a bit. And, you know, there's not enough exposition. That's what gives it away, that it's not a Kojima game. Do you know what I mean? There's not enough constant exposition. But I will say the intro is very Metal Gear because, and I don't mean this in a bad way, so don't get angry about this, Metal Gear fans. This is a compliment to you. Well, not to you, but to the series. But the intro is very Metal Gear to me because it's just insanity and bullshit.
Mm.
Like, you're dead, but you're not dead. I mean, you're dead, but you're definitely dead because you're in a casket, but then you're not because... He's talking to you and saying your arm's infected and you're sent to Dite, which is hell, essentially.
It has those elements of just mad. It just
nonsense.
Has...
Nonsense.
Yeah, nonsense. Correct, that's the word. I think, like, for the bits I played in it, it's not that, like... It's not a poor game, but I just feel, do we really need it? I don't think... that I really wanted or needed this game, especially when I'm still a Monster Hunter. Like, it's a very... like, and what I mean by that, it's a completely different game, obviously, to Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
But in terms of spending my time, Metal Gear Survive, I don't know when was the right time for it to come out. And I think, like, How much is it going for? It's nice.
It's 25 on Amazon.co.uk. It's certainly a budget title in that respect.
Like, it's definitely worth that. Like, definitely.
It's well made.
It's well made.
Like you say, I don't think it's a bad game. I would struggle to extol the virtues of it, but it's not bad.
It's not bad, but, like, I don't know how much time I can truly invest into it, you know?
So, I also have a weird thing with this. Sorry, go on, lads.
I just also want to say that, like, I find it very confusing at times. I think it throws so much at you.
That's what I was actually going to address. It does calm down a little bit. Like,
it's a bit like, what is happening?
What it tends to do is I can't really think of a simile for it, but it does kind of throw the kitchen sink. Chris will back me up on this. It throws the kitchen sink at you, but then it calms down to the point where, right, okay, you get into your routine, your little loop, and I think it's really weird, this game, right? Because I feel like the game hates me. It hates me. Hates the shit out of me.
In what way?
Take real life, right? And take... the things that annoy you about real life, you use perhaps a form of entertainment to escape them.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, for example, I'm on a diet and have been for a while. I've nearly lost 4 stone. Yes, great, well done. Shouldn't have been such a fat cunt to begin with, right? But the point is... I'm escaping the fact that I am sitting there going, God, I really want some chocolate, man. I really would love just a burger to go and play a game where I'm hungry all the time. Do you know?
I do love how you're comparing real life to Metal Gear Survive.
Trust me, I have a point. I'm getting there in the round the houses way.
Okay.
There's a lot about our lives. I mean, not yours. I mean, you've just fucked off to Canada. Like, you're loving it. But there's a lot about our lives, like going to work, stuff that you sort of, it's a chore. It's kind of what you have to do to get to the things you want to do, isn't it? Like, you can't just be someone who doesn't work. You have to work to be able to get that time to sort of play a game.
Yeah.
This game takes every miniature sort of micromanagement chore of your everyday real life. Yeah, it's not exactly. You don't have to go and hunt your food, but you do sometimes. Walking around Tesco's is sometimes like hunting. Like, it can be very stressful, like just pushing the grannies out of the way and kicking a small child and that. You know, you've got to get to the chicken first. And all of these little things are in this game. So you have a hunger meter, which is constantly ticking down. You have a thirst meter, which is constantly ticking down. You know, if you drink dirty water, you start vomiting. If you eat raw food, you get sick. You know, then when you get into the dust, you have to have an oxygen mask because you're in the dust. And then everything, like, you know, your gear degrades over time. Your weapons degrade over time. Like, everything you could possibly imagine that could nudge you and nag you is in this game.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like it hates you. But I also think
it is hard to survive, though.
Well, absolutely, it does what it says on the tin. I can't think of a game that's more apt than. But
yeah,
for all that I've said, that sounds like I dislike that. I actually think all that stuff is what kind of makes it so interesting, because there's something very compelling about the game. I can't quite put my finger on that. All that should annoy the piss out of me, and yet I kind of keep wanting to play it, and I don't know why. Like, you can never carry enough bullets. You can never carry enough ammo. You know, you can only carry 5 fences, and yet.
But does that get annoying?
For some reason, I want to play it.
Like, does it get frustrating? Like, because that's where I think I'm going to just completely fall off. Because if it's a, look, I know it's part of the game, whatever. But does it give you a good role of feeling like a badass?
So I forget the exact example. Hoping Chris will be able to nudge my memory a bit, but there was a mission I think this is a while back now, I'm a lot further in actually. One of the first missions you do, I think it's the one before you unlock co-op, where you have to protect your thing in the dust. I forget, you know, the excavator thing.
Yes, the wormhole.
I think it's the first the wormhole thing. That's it. Yeah, sorry, that's it. When you unlock your first fast travel thing, right? Have you done that yet, Adam?
No.
Okay, when you do that mission, I failed 3 times, and it's only when I finished it I realised I was kind of not using the tools at my disposal. Like, it only occurred to me afterwards that the game had told me about these wanderers and their elements that it had told me I can throw a glass bottle to distract them and they will all just dumbly stand it when I could then throw a Molotov cocktail at them. This all occurred to me after the fact, and that's partly because, as you say, it bombards you so much information that I was like, I couldn't, I obviously hadn't soaked all that in. Now, going back to it, well, I mean, obviously, it's a lot further in, but I say, if you attack the game with that knowledge, thinking, oh, right, it's not Left for Dead. I don't have to just have waves at me, come at me, and I've got my ammo, and that's my disposal. I have other elements. I can put the fences up. I can, as I say, I can distract them. I can shoot, you know, that sort of stuff makes it less annoying. Whereas if you play it without that stuff, it's tough. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if, Chris, because you had to do that mission before we played co-op, and I wonder if you're now there going, oh, yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, the wormhole transporter mission was one of the things I got to do in the preview. So I'd played that bit before and I loved it. I mean, it did take me a couple of goes as well, just because it's insane. But at that point, you've got no idea of what else you can do because you're literally playing a timed, like, preview. So going into it, it's still difficult to know what I could have done and what I can't at the time, but it's just a case of like using your brain a bit. And also there's a lot of these big kind of crates which you can open, and you can get like blueprints out of for a lot of different weapons, and you find them just by exploring. And there's a lot of cool stuff in the dust, like towards the south of your main base there's the dust, and I found a Jeep there, so I got in the Jeep and drove further into the dust and found certain things. So it's a lot about exploration, but you can't explore without having a lot of health and a lot of water. So
that's right.
You have to go and kill them fucking ghosts, which
I tell you what, use the bow.
Yeah.
Use the bow, because they can't... They still do that with... It's really difficult to describe. They kind of do this thing where, almost like when you get line of sight on them with any weapon, they kind of do this duck, run forward a bit, stop thing.
Yeah.
But that's much easier to get around because they're so annoying.
Yeah.
And that's... So there you go. That's just another thing to add. So you can get a load of food, you can stockpile it, but that food can go off. So again, a little thing... Like I say, I feel like... I'm going to say one thing. I quite like this game, and I think there's two people that one set of people are going to hate this game, and there's another set I think might really, really enjoy it, because if you like survival games, this is one of the more, I don't want to say hardcore, but it is a survival game. It really is.
I think one of the go on, sorry, mate.
No, carry on.
I was just going to say it reminds me of The Long Dark, because
kinda
that for me is like one of the toughest survival games I've played, because it's just constantly. Mm. You're trying to survive. It's not, you never have too much stuff. You're constantly going from cabin to cabin to the woods or wherever to find, just to survive that little bit longer. Whereas I think this, there are more tools at your disposal, and it is brutal, but I think it's a lot easier to learn, and I'm looking forward to go further into it and kind of and know exactly what I'm doing, because the story is batshit as it is. I'm interested in it, and like,
it would be better if the characters weren't such dry assholes.
But yeah, to be fair, like Ottagon, what was his name? Ottagon.
He was
dull as fuck. Like, yeah. But I mean, to be fair, Solid Snake didn't have a lot about him, but he was just very kind of interesting. But like,
I tell you what, I can pinpoint one thing then that I absolutely hate, and then I can stop moaning. All right,
go for it.
When you get below 20% health or thirst, it might be both, I can't remember, the screen does this blur, defocusing blur thing. That's one of the worst things I've ever seen in a game. Like, I don't know who thought that was a good idea, because I wear glasses and I thought I was going mental. Like, the game would just it'll probably be in the video, Chris, you did, of like the first 90 minutes. I'm sure it's in there somewhere. Like, literally, the screen, it's like someone turns the focus ring on a camera and it blurs and then comes back into sharp focus and then it will do it again. And it made me feel quite ill. And I don't get sick playing games often. And, like, that needs... I get it, because it does make you feel uncomfortable, but also like that may be one step too far for me. Mm. But I like this game, you know, and I don't sound like I like it, do I? But I do. I sort of can't stop thinking about it. I like the idea of what Chris just said, getting it, finding a Jeep, going deep in and finding a blueprint in a box. And
but one of the things that happened to me was I got in the Jeep and then I encountered quite a few of those enemies. And
the Wanderers.
The Wanderers, thank you, because I'm going to keep calling them enemies and it sounds shit.
I mean, just call them zombies. They are zombies. I mean, they literally are.
That'll do. And the Jeep, I ran into a few and then I ended up trying to kind of drive around them but crashing into a rock, and then I was that far in and the Jeep blew up. I had about 50% oxygen and I had to find my way back out. And I managed it, but I like got out with like 3% oxygen, and so like that was quite exciting. But the kind of thing I'm looking forward to play more of is because I know there will probably never ever be another Metal Gear game as good as the ones we've played. But there's a lot of things in those games which I miss seeing and I miss interacting with, whether it's the characters or the kind of machines that you saw. And I know for a fact, and I'm not going to spoil it because this pissed me off, but I went on YouTube, and because obviously we'd uploaded the Metal Gear Survive.
It's always a mistake to go onto YouTube.
But it was literally, it was like, yeah. I was going to upload a completely different video for Yakuza, and on the main page, there was a, I've just found this in Metal Gear Survive. And I was like, oh, fucking brilliant, thanks. But now I know that that's in it, I'm very much looking forward to see what other kind of nods. And that's what I want. I know it's not a proper Metal Gear game, but I love the nods to the series. And I think it's very kind of true to the series as well in a lot of ways.
Ah, Chris, you've got to stop saying that, mate. You've got to stop saying that.
I can't help it.
I know, this is how you feel. But like, do you not think... So if they'd come out, Konami, after everything that happened, and that's all I'm going to say, everything that happened, if with Metal Gear Solid 6, do you not think this is a smarter move?
Yeah, definitely.
To do this, see how it goes, remind them that they're still in the business of making Metal Gear games, then maybe think about a 6.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, if it were me, I'd have someone off making a remake of the first game.
Oh, like, man, proper, I would love, that's what I would love them to announce that.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of like, it's still Kojima's game, so the fans can't go too mad. They still own the property. They'll make a shitload of money, but they're not also then adding a new game into the canon, so they can't be pissing people off too much. Whereas, let's pretend Kojima still works for Konami, and then they announced Metal Gear Solid is being remade for PS4, Xbox One, PC. People would have gone ape shit. Do you know what I mean? Because it doesn't really require too much input from Kojima, because the game exists. So yeah. that's what I would do next, I think.
And they kind of did a bit of that when Kojima was there in Sons of the Patriots, because you go back to Shadow Moses and see it all remade on a better kind of engine. But I think that's the logical step. I'd love to see it, whether it'll happen or not, I doubt. But
are you going to keep playing? Like you're
definitely. Yeah, definitely. And I just,
Adam, are you?
How many? Yeah, I will, but I was supposed to ask, how long do you think Survive is?
It's about 20 hours plus, I think. Well, I mean, it depends, really, because you could just explore, but the story's about 25, I think. Near 30, if I remember. It's long enough.
Yeah, see, I just love the series so much, and like, if you're saying there's some sort of nod that you've already had spoiled for you, Chris, like, I want to know what that is now, and I want, like, if they start bringing those things into the game, I will find enjoyment. Like if this
apparently there's a nod in the opening cutscene. Have you seen the news? I mean, we're not getting the news yet. But have you seen the news? I'm not convinced this is not some huge mistake. You know, when you name your character and then you get the list of names come up.
Yeah.
And it's like the kind of like sausage dragon force or whatever. You know, the most stupid names. Apparently, and I've seen the screenshot now, and I've looked myself. It spells out KJP forever. Which is weird.
That's a bit weird.
I mean, I don't know. Who?
Yeah, at this point, I fucked up with that because I was doing.
Did you name your character Chris?
Because I was doing my video, I was thinking, what's my name? Well, I just put Christopher White, but it didn't get to White. It got to T. So I was like, I'm not being called Christopher Witt. So I just changed it to Christopher, and I was like, yeah, that'll do. And then like, it showed you all the names of all the soldiers. It was like, just these awesome names and then just Christopher. I'm like, oh, fuck.
See, I knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
I knew this was happening, so I called mine Savage Sausage or something. Oh. So mine looked not out of place at all, ridiculously. So, it's, you know, I mean, we'll probably come back to Metal Gear Survive as the week's gone and see how people drop off or carry on playing. Because I'm interested to see more and hear more from you guys. But Adam, you have been playing, I guess, the current iOS mobile darling, Florence. I played through this myself today, and I'm getting rave reviews. Does it get the Carol 4 thumbs up? For some reason, I'm giving you 4 thumbs. Don't know why I said that.
For me, so what was the last iOS game we played? What was the name of it? Both me and you played it, Adam. The kind of puzzly.
God, don't ask me things like this.
Oh, it's the weird Garagoa.
Garagoa.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So that came out to rave reviews and stuff, but
yeah,
wasn't really for me. Okay.
Okay.
Florence, when it comes to mobile games, I can take him or leave him. I'm not like the biggest mobile game fan. Florence, however, looked amazing. It just has, from what I saw, I just thought it looked amazing. So I was like, okay, let's give it a shot. It's only like $350 or something, I think it is.
Yeah.
I played it on the flight and it took me around. It's really short.
Yeah, it's like, not even an hour, is it?
No, like I'd say.
Maybe an hour. I'd say
35, 40 minutes, I'd say, is when I finished it. I think it's fantastic. I thought it was an absolutely incredible story. I thought the music was amazing. And see, there's not much I can honestly say about it because it's so short. But you are playing a girl called Florence, who's just going through the motions of life. And that's kind of really all I want to say. Now, I know for a lot of people, they'll kind of be going, yeah, but look, we have games like this. We have Life is Strange. We have, like, what's the one I just played? Not The Vanishing of Ethan Carter.
Edith Finch?
Yeah, that one. There's a couple of these kind of games out there. But what Florence does well, it almost comes across like a real nod to movies like, I don't know, Juno and stuff like that. You know, it's a real indie-esque style game. Now, the elements of actual gameplay are super interesting, I found.
Very.
And
very cool.
Like, really cool. I don't know if I can even say, like, okay, so, like, because there's a couple of moments where you kind of go, oh, that's mad, but there is a situation where it comes down to, like, dialogue, but there's not.
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned this. I was hoping you saw this too.
So I'm trying to be. I'm going to be end up being super vague here, but
I don't know that we can. I think we have to mention this if it's the same thing, because I don't think it's a huge spoiler. Because I think it's an interpretation thing. If we're talking about the same thing,
so I'm going to say it's a conversation, and it's back and forth.
Okay, we're not quite talking about the same thing.
If you could remind me of what you're on about, I'll probably be like, oh, yeah.
So the thing that there's two moments in this game for me, one that nearly made me cry, which really surprised me because I don't think that's ever happened with a mobile game. It really made me sort of go, ooh, choke me up a bit. There's a bit where a lot of the game it's a bit like Goragoa in that you kind of just staring at something and you're like, oh, shit, you want me to do something? Okay. So there's a picture of Florence and her group of friends, and there's a clock at the bottom and nothing happens, and you realise, oh, you have to turn the clock, and as you turn the clock you keep turning the clock and the clock, and as gradually in this picture it starts off with her friends like all snuggled up real tight, and as you spin the arms, you know, the clock hands, her friends start just moving ever so slowly away and drifting and drifting and drifting away, as she's getting older in the photograph. So like from when she was a little girl, just, you know, her friends are slowly moving away. It's a visual impact thing. And then when you get to the end of turning the clock, she's on her own.
Yeah,
and that really hit me so much in the gut because, my God. You know, simple observation to make because everyone does it. You start off and you have so many friends, and as time goes on, you have friends, but you drift apart to when you're kind of isolated a lot. And that really is so well done. I'm not doing it justice. That's point number one. Point number two is the first time the conversation stuff comes up for me. You've I don't really want to say who you've met, because I mean, otherwise we are, it's only 35-40 minutes. Yeah. I'm going to spoil the whole bloody game. Go and buy it. Yeah. It's like £3. But it comes up and there's like jigsaw puzzle, and that's you putting the conversation together. So like it starts off and there's 4 or 5 bits and you put them together, then you drag it into the bubble, you have a conversation, and it goes back and forth. With this person, and I actually genuinely think this is one of the most genius things I've seen in a game, starts off this 4 bits of the puzzle, putting them together. You've just met this person, 4 bits of the puzzle, bang, conversation starts. Now it's 3 bits, now it's 2 bits, and I think that is so clever, because the interpretation I certainly had is that as you get to know this person more, conversation becomes easier. So instead of putting together 4 pieces to get your words out, it's just bang, one bit. And because as you know someone more intimately, it's easier to talk to them. It's such a clever thing.
I'm talking about.
I genuinely thought that is one of the most clever things I've ever seen in a game. Like, it's, again, simple observation, but the way in which it is delivered in a game way is just incredible. I really do think so.
Yeah. See, for the game that, like, for the length that the game is, there's so many moments in it that I honestly was just like, holy shit. I was like, that is really hitting me. Now, I'm going to get real for a second, okay? And say towards the game. I think playing a game like Florence, I think for everyone who plays video games, I think like the subject matter that it's delivering, I don't think we could ever turn around and say that it's shit or it did nothing to me, because it hits life so incredibly on point within this game. And there's a couple of games out there that do it anyway as well, but like just Florence in particular for me hit me really hard because of the fact like I ended up doing a massive change in my life.
The timing of this for you must be something else.
Correct. And like, I know, like it's like, I'm not trying to be soppy or anything, but like,
people know us.
The power of video games is just like crazy. And I think I was sitting on the plane and then like the credits rolled and I was just kind of like kind of looking around, kind of just going, holy shit. Like, I you're just wondering, I'm thinking to myself, what do I do? I need to cheer myself up. I ended up watching Cool Running straight afterwards on the plane.
Of course you did.
I was like, I have to plan Cool Running, so I need to take my mind off. It's because it was just such, because the game isn't, it doesn't leave like a bad feeling. It leaves just a real life feeling and how life is just played out. And just the story of Florence, like, there's a situation, like, it's very, very minor spoiler in terms of a character thing, but it's
okay.
her mother, right?
Yeah.
And it's just, everyone has been through it. Like, everyone has turned to their parent, to their mother or father in some way, exactly the same way that she has in the game. And I think it's one of the nicest games I've played in a long time.
The other bit I would add, Adam, I don't know if this, again, you know, I think a lot of people take a lot of different moments from this and it'll mean to them different things, but I'm not going to go into details because I think we spoiled probably enough. We haven't really spoiled anything, just mechanically. If I would say to you the push scene, pushing someone in the back, to me, that was, again, I went from being Florence to being the other character, because like, if it weren't, like, my wife does that, like, she's the most supportive person I've ever met, like, she's the one doing that for me. And it's weird to say this, but like, it's part art style, part music, but something about this game is, again, I don't think it's making any observations about life that are profound. They're all kind of obvious, but it does it so well.
Like, as you said, the moment regarding the clock.
Yeah, like, that hit me, that did.
Like, that is really, like, when you're doing it, it's just a bit like, fucking hell, like, wow. Yeah. Like,
to see something you know has happened to you, has happened to everyone, to see
absolutely.
That right in front of you, like, almost saying, you know, you used to have more friends, and you're like, all right, I know.
Yeah,
it's almost like, hey, go ring your friends, you know, go speak to them.
Exactly. And I can't stress enough now for anyone that is listening to this thinking, well, fuck it, they're after spoiling the whole thing. What's the point?
No, not really.
Like,
no,
this is one tiny moment of so many great moments within the game. And
it's also hard to endorse a game like this without saying something about why. Because, you know, you can't talk about it mechanically without spoiling it, because
the
mechanics of the game change based on the scene. Like, they're all... There's elements of every... I mean, there are... It kind of reminds me of Edith Finch in that respect. Like, each different scene has got a kind of different... And it is Annapurna as well, so it's published by the same people. So, I don't know. It just... The only thing, like, I'd say is it ends a little abruptly. I could have done with another 20 minutes, but I don't know how they would end it other than the way they did end it.
I definitely would... If you were sitting right next to me on the plane, I probably would have had to hug you and go, hold me. But, like, I would have, like... I would have said the same thing. I would have kind of went, that was very abrupt, whatever. But as days have gone on and I've thought back on it, I think it is pretty much perfect in the way it's done. I think it's length and everything.
It certainly ends on an up, doesn't it?
Well, two things we have to bring out as well.
Yeah.
The way the game looks.
Oh, man. Wow.
The animation, I think, it's perfect. I think it's just... I just love how simple... Sorry?
No, I was just agreeing.
Oh, yeah, sorry. It's just, I don't know, it's just so colourful. Like when I was playing it, I was putting myself in a position, if I was somebody who was looking at somebody playing the game, I'd be like, what is that? I'd be, that looks a bit mad. On a phone especially, I don't know, there's just something really, really charming about it. However, it's nearly the star of the whole thing. Like, the story is something... But the music.
Yeah, yeah.
The music carries all the emotion. Like,
yeah, 100%.
Like, the power of it, just the power of music and everything, I just think is so crazy. I think I've said this two or three times already on the podcast, but, like, it just, the elements of when you feel for Florence and the way the music kind of just comes in, you just go, oh, for fuck's sake, this is just... This is just so, like, it's sad, but it's real. And it's not, there's nothing, when I say it's sad, there's nothing rough. There's nothing like there's no dying as such or anything.
It's kind of just life.
It's just a simple, simple aspect of life that everyone has gone through, especially as they're getting older. Oh, man, it's a really special game for me. And I think, like, I'll be talking about this at the end of the year for sure. And it's like, as we said, it's only like three quid or something.
Yeah,
like,
I'm sure I bought it today, $2.99 in the UK. Yeah. So that is like not a lot of money.
Support this game. Uh-huh. It needs, because I feel it's one of those games that are just kind of, it's going to just be there and then people are going to have to be told about it, because there isn't much talk about it. Like, I think the people who have played it are on the same page as ourselves, and
I
are
think
very
there
much...
will be people who hate it. It's.
I don't want to fucking meet them.
But I think it's very much a game that is aimed at the kind of person who likes the Edith Finch, likes the, you know, because I do, you know, that's fine. But I do think if you hate games like that, this probably isn't going to be the one for you, regardless of how good it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
if you don't like that kind of game,
well, I wouldn't see how somebody would look at this game and not know what to kind of expect. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's people out there who'll say it isn't a game, and it's like, it fucking is. It is. It's a story. It's told. You control it. You do this, right? But, like, I think even if you think you don't like it, just risk it. It's three quid.
3 quid, yeah.
And support them, because I think, like, this kind of storytelling in games is very important to be supported. I don't know. Like, I just think, I just absolutely adored it.
Well, going from sort of a very emotive experience, it's time to have a little check-in with Christopher White about Yakuza 6, because there's a video up of you playing it, and we can still only talk about it in a preview sense, but I thought we'd just check in with you, see how you're going with Yakuza.
Yeah. Well, speaking of emotive, mate, it has got a little more sensitive at the minute. So obviously we can't talk like too much about it. And I've got to the point now where that's it. Anything I play from now will have to be, what, you know, held to the review.
Which is
fine. But the basically the chapter that I uploaded to YouTube features more of the little boy you're looking after. So essentially what's happened is the girl you've known since the very first Yakuza has obviously grown up now, and you've parted ways only to find that she was in a car accident, and she had a son, and he's about 1 year old, and you've basically gone to Hiroshima, a quaint town in Hiroshima, with the boy to find out where the father is. So one of the things that it's done, which is completely changed the way you play Yakuza, is the fact that you're looking after this kid. And like, I now have three children. I have Evelyn, Holly, and now I have Haruto, because he's a full-time job. So there's one part in it where you're just walking around. You've got to find some baby milk, right? And you there's these people on the streets. You just randomly talking to them, asking them where they know where you can get any from. And no one seems to know, and the baby's crying. And now there's like a mini game, and it kicks off every kind of few minutes. Not in the whole experience, because that would be really annoying, but just in this section.
I was going to ask, that sounds Dead Rising, like Zombrex.
Yeah, no, it's worrying. Not. It was in this one segment, and I've not done it since, so it's okay. Not going to be. But it was great for when it happened, because as you know, when you've got a little baby, you don't know what's wrong with them. You learn, don't you? You learn to read them a bit. So this mini game that happened in about three times in the space I was trying to find this milk, and I was like, fuck, I need to find some milk for the baby. I need to keep him quiet. So this mini game pops up where you're holding the baby in front of you, and you just need to calm it down a bit. So one of the things is, if you swing the controller from side to side, you'll rock the baby, and he'll either calm down or not, because that's not what he wants. One of the other options is to kind of rub the touchpad to kind of tickle his tummy. Another one is to kind of lift him in the air and kind of make his tummy flip, and it makes him smile. So when you get that right, he'll calm down for a little bit, and then you run off again, and it'll kick off again, and he'll start crying again. You're like, for God's sake. So you try and calm him down again. But it's a really nice little mechanic to it. And the way that the story's interacting with how you're interacting with the child in the story, you become very attached. And it's a really nice mechanic, and Yakuza always has the stupid, you know, side stories and whatnot. But the actual main stories have always been really kind of great, and the writing is excellent.
How does the fighting work? Like, when you've got a baby, how does if you're into fights with the...
Well, as anyone knows, when you get in a fight and you're holding a baby, you just pass it to a stranger and say, "Hold the baby," and then you go and just fight this group.
Brilliant.
And then you're
not
like,
being
cheers.
Funny. That's kind of the way the Yakuza series should do that.
You hand it to like a tramp on a street corner and be like, "Hey, mate,
watch." But like, I think again, the game, the way this series is, I kind of think that's probably the right way to do it.
But again, it's like it's a couple of times where, you know, like when a gang interacts with you on the streets of Kamurocho, you're on your own. It doesn't happen loads, because there's also another character that you meet in Hiroshima who's a female, and you get quite attached to, and she kind of helps you look after the kid a bit. So it's not constantly handing it to strangers. But just in general, it's like the city that you're in at the minute, like in Hiroshima, is so different to the usual, but it's equally kind of beautiful. And it's like a lot of Japan is just gorgeous, and I always love the kind of the way that country looks in a lot of games it's been represented in, and this is no different. It's a kind of a shipping town, like there's a lot of, like a massive kind of river by the side of it where boats are docking and bringing in all the exports and imports and stuff like that. And the people you meet are all kind of, they all work in this industry. So it feels like a very tight-knit community. And even the kind of the characters you meet in Hiroshima, which are part of the Yakuza, they're also really interesting. And like the fight where, in the video where I'm fighting on a baseball ground, the three you fight, you kind of start to get quite close to in a weird way, and it kind of flips a bit, and it's just it's just really good, and it brings back a lot of old characters, but for the most part so far it's all been a lot of new stuff. And you know, you are straying away from the typical bit of Tokyo where you used to be in favor of this at the minute. So Yeah, I'm just loving it, and I'm loving just taking it at my own pace. I go for walks, Adam. I go for walks around Hiroshima, just because there's loads to do. It's just a beautiful little town, and it's just it's one of the best so far. In a previous sense, obviously, I've not finished it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can see it maintaining this kind of level of fun and kind of warmth to it. So yeah, I'm loving it, and it's great to kind of be playing a new Yakuza that isn't a remake or a prequel. It's following on this great story that is akin to The Godfather, if I'm being honest, because there's so much happens in The Godfather that it's very similar to Yakuza. There's a hell of a lot of story threads. He's got a hell of a lot of history, and when you know all the history of where you are at the minute, you know, he's a granddad now. Everyone refers to him as an old man in the street. If you have a fight, they're all calling you old man. They don't have a clue who you are or where you've been, but you do. So it kind of has a lot more weight to the story. And I'm looking forward to see where it progresses, to be honest.
So
every time I hear about this series, I feel like I'm missing out so much.
You are. There's no other way of putting it. You are, mate. You are.
I have zero right there. I just need to play it.
You do.
And every time, the way everyone talks about it, every time we discuss Yakuza on this podcast, something is said, and I'm just like, what the fuck is this series? I'm like,
it is crazy.
What is it? Because I want it. I need to get involved with this.
You do.
I just think, even you just describing there about having a kid, I'm fucking so into that shit. I'm I'm not into having kids, because I have no kids, but in the game, the element of it, for knowing who that character is and what it is, it's like, what is going on? I've never heard of anything like that in a video game, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's ace. There's just so much to do in the side quests, and the main story is really kind of excellent, and there's just a sea of options, a sea of mini games, a sea of enemies, and seas of thieves. Adam?
Fair. Yeah, not bad, mate. Whoa. Not bad. That's all right, really good.
That was all right.
It was, because I was sitting there thinking the only way I can do this is to go, well, Metal Gear Survive, mixed reviews, Florence, positive, Yakuza 6, let's go back to mixed. Because see if these is out next March. No, not next March.
This March.
Next month. I played quite a bit of it over the sort of closed alphas and whatever you want to call them, and the stress tests. And I'll be honest with you, I really like this game. I really like this game. It's... they won't like me for saying this. It's kind of No Man's Sky-ish, but with pirates, which instantly makes it better, let's be honest, doesn't it? You know, the issue I have... And this is a very... I mean, this literally is a preview. We don't have the game, so this is 100% preview thoughts. The issue I have with it is that it seems like a game like Monster Hunter in that it is designed for you to play with friends, or at least to play online in a group of four, because you have your ship. Someone lifts the anchor while someone raises the mainsail. Someone steers the boat. Someone, you know what I mean? It's very cooperative, and I absolutely love that. But, and this is a big but, I don't know how playable this is going to be unless you can do that. Now, it's totally possible, and the previews from people who went to Rare Studios suggest as much, that there's a lot of content we're not seeing, because this is not a demo, this is not a preview build, this is a beta, an alpha, whatever, a stress test to see for them to get results. And I do believe that is genuinely what they're doing. Again, but there are systems in this game that deeply worry me, okay? So in this game, you are in a gang of pirates, you and three other people. Now, if you're not playing, let's just pretend it's three people and there's us three playing it, right? But if you, and that's great, because we'll all work together, we'll chat on mic in a party, we'll play, won't we? You know, we'll get on. However, if you're playing with randoms, there's a brig system. A brig, if you're not familiar with, you know, boating pirate vernacular, is a prison. And if you join a gang, pirate gang, people can put you in the brig. And they can do that by hitting a button and voting to put you in the brig. And if someone else agrees that they put you in the brig, that is you literally playing a game where you are in a prison, locked in a prison, unable to get out, unless you are let out by the people. Again, vote system. So I jumped on. And we were aboard. This is such a, I love this. This is what I like about the game. You can go to, you know, on a desert island, and you're shooting some skeletons or hitting them with your sword, eating a banana, picking up cannibals, loading the cannons onto your ship, and then you find a bottle with a little, you know, little map in it, and you open it up, and there's a riddle on it, and the riddle, and you work out the riddle. So you go back to your ship, you go down into the galleon, you know, down to the sort of map area, and you look at the map, and you find the map, you mark the map, and you think, oh, great. And then no one does anything. And you're like, okay, well, there's definitely treasure here. I've worked out the riddle. There's it literally the riddle solution is the name of this island. There's going to be treasure there. Let's go there. Right, fine. So I'm gonna just get. I'll take the initiative. Let's go. Right, I'm gonna get hold of the get the ship's controls and start steering it. Immediately, someone comes up and starts hitting. He can't hurt me because we're on the same team. But he's just smashing. You know, ting, ting, ting. Where he's hitting as if to say, get off, get off, get off the ship's controls, get off the wheel. And I'm like, no. I'm thinking, trust me. We're going to treasure. We're going to treasure. So I keep steering us, and I come off the wheel as if to sort of turn around, as if to sort of like go, hey, you know, I'm looking at him like, treasure, you know, treasure. Get back on the wheel, get the steering, get the thing right. All of a sudden, there's a flash. Oh, I'm in the brig. Oh, fucking great. So I was doing nothing wrong. I was doing nothing wrong at all. I was directing us to an island, a treasure island, if you will, and I'm in the brig now. Great, cool. They didn't let me back out. I was there for about 5 minutes. No one let me out. And so I just quit the game because that's the only way I could, you know, so I quit and then I loaded up and started a new adventure kind of thing. Second time around, I start on the boat and I see that my teammates or would-be teammates are swimming around a cove and picking up stuff and there's a treasure chest. Cool. So I jump out there. I sort of go around with them. It looks like everyone's going back to the boat. There's a bloke stops, stands there staring at me and I think, okay, sure. Shall we? Okay, we do. We just go back and flash. I'm in the brig. Oh, okay. I literally didn't. I mean, the first time I could maybe say, well, they were pissed off. Maybe the other three people were in a party, were trying to go somewhere, and there's some dickhead joined. You know, I didn't think I was trolling. I wasn't. I was trying to take us to treasure. But let's just be generous and say that first time, that's what happened. Second time, nothing happened. They just voted to put me in the brig. And again, I'm in the brig. And my. Me playing this game is I'm in a prison, unable to move, unable to do anything. And like, I'm sat there thinking, this is fucking broke. This is a broken system. Because if I don't have three friends I can play with on the regular, how often is this going to happen to me? You know, and again, maybe I'm reaching. I created a female avatar, and it just made me wonder. Because I was thinking about what Nicola said once when she said about how she plays Rainbow Six Siege or whatever, a shooter, and as soon as people hear she's got a female voice, they kick her, and she couldn't think of another reason they'd be doing it. And we know how immature some people can be, and I started to wonder, shit, do they think, is this what it's like to be a woman? You know what I mean? I'm just put in prison because I'm a woman. You know what I mean? It felt like, what's going, why are they, and to me, I think this game could be such a cool game, like really what I want from it. It feels like it could be. However, I don't feel like you can put the policing of the game in the player's hands. I feel like there has to be some kind of flag that if you are griefing your team some way, it will pop up a message saying, you know, such and such has been a dick. Do you wish to brig them for 5 minutes? I don't feel like the control of that should be solely down to the other players because I did nothing wrong in any of those situations. And my fun was taken from me because there doesn't appear to be a tool within the game that polices you. Like, it is completely down to the player to sort the community, if you will. And as admirable as it may be to have that trust, 2 out of 2 times it happened to me, and I went away going, I don't want to play this right now. Unless I can play it with people I know, I don't want to play this.
That's horrendous.
That's a real shame.
I think that's a big problem.
Yeah.
I think that's a problem they can fix in the month left, not even a month. I think there has
Has anyone online been saying the same?
I'll be honest, I haven't looked, but I just think I think it's a big problem that you can just be voted in the brig when you've done nothing wrong. I feel like if you're playing a shooter, for example, and you're griefing people, like say if you're playing FIFA and you disconnect, you get a warning or whatever, you know, you get a sanction. I don't feel like sanctioning within multiplayer games should be down to the community to decide. Because I'm not saying the Sea of Thieves community is toxic. This is 2 isolated incidents in a game that's not out yet. But, for the third time, but, it certainly seems like the sanctioning is up to the community. And if I'm getting stuck in a brig for doing nothing, why would I play that game? Now, the hope for me is that the single player is a single player. Like, you can just play it on your own. Like, and there are smaller galleons that you can adventure on. But like, the kind of draw for me is the idea of us guys getting together, you know, a couple of times a week and going on our ship and that, and being with other people, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'd love to do. It sounds so good. Like, I love the idea of just finding a map and then, you know, sailing off, and we're all working together in like a really smart way. But I would never play that kind of game with other people anyway. Just because if that's the case and that stays when it gets released, it will lose a lot of people, because there are dickheads out there.
I mean, they're talking that they're going to support it for a long, long time, so there's no reason they can't address stuff like this. And I will say, the other parts of the game I dig. Like, I just love... It feels very rare, you know what I mean? It feels really good, and it looks gorgeous, and I kind of like everything else about it. But that feels like a real mistake so far. Again, we don't know what the final game's going to be like, but that feels like a misjudgment.
Yeah.
That feels like the assumption that... It almost feels like they assume everyone in the community is just going to be cool, and that's just never going to happen. It's impossible.
We should try and do a Let's Play together when it comes out.
Oh, well, you'll have to buy an Xbox One.
Oh, for fuck's sake, I do.
Yeah.
What an absolute drain.
Yeah. Well, before we move into news, I don't know if Chris, do you want to talk about Fae at all? Because we did talk a lot about it last week, but you reviewed it. I
put it down because I want to mention a couple of bits, because it's not like a particularly long game. I think it's about 4, 5, 6 hours.
Yeah.
But it's obviously, I know we play games like, and I'll say Monster Hunter because that's the game that came out quite a while after the review code came in, and obviously there's a day one patch because it needs it for the kind of multiplayer co-op elements to it and a few of the fixes and stuff. So you kind of understand that if there are a few issues, you hope they address them. Fae is a small game, but it's the full release. It didn't get an update. It's as it is. There were two parts in that game which I couldn't get past. And I thought I was doing something wrong, and it took up more time than I needed to. It took me, between the two incidents, about 45 minutes to try and work out that it wasn't actually me that had gone wrong. So there's one incident, one where you have to collect these kind of warthogs and take them back to their mother. They're not warthogs. They look like warthogs. I don't know what they are. They're mystical pigs. But
I really want there to be warthogs.
They're on this kind of weird platforms, and you use your voice to talk to them and sing to them, and then they'll follow you. One of these little bastards didn't follow me, and it was on like a tiny little step below me. It'd have no issue climbing up that step, but for some reason it wouldn't follow me, and I thought like I'd missed another one of them somewhere to take them back, but all the nests were full apart from this one. So it took me ages to try and get it. I tried all sorts of things. Nothing worked. So I kind of came off it and thought, nah, I'm not doing this at the minute. I can't be arsed. I've wasted too much time. Came back to it a couple of days later, loaded in, did it straight away. So clearly a glitch. Secondly, was right near the end. So I'm not going to tell you what happens at the end, but there's a door that needs to open. And it's basically at the top of this tower-like thing where you have to do a lot of kind of things on each level of this tower. And the final stage of it, I'd done all I could possibly see to do. And by that point, you've learned a hell of a lot of abilities. There's like six or seven in total. So I was using them all for all these different parts, and it was tricky, but I thought I'd got there. And you're basically leading this machine up there. And I was assuming he would let me in this door, but I spent ages going back down the tower, looking on each level to make sure I'm not missing anything. But and then you've got that like bird that you can call, and then it leads you to where you're supposed to go next.
Yeah.
And it led me to the door, but there's no one there to open the door. I tried doing all sorts of things to the door, just wouldn't have it. Again, I thought, well, maybe I'll use the same logic as I did before, and I closed the game, went back into it. and the guy appeared, opened the door for me. And I just think, like that, if it, those things hadn't happened, it would have got probably a 6.5 or a 7, because it really did kind of hamper my enjoyment of it, because it's not a bad game at all. It's actually quite enjoyable. But these two things really kind of put a downer on it, and it's a shame that they're in there. And I'd be interested to see if that happened for anyone else, to be fair, which it must have done. But yeah, I just felt the need to mention that, because I did enjoy it for the most part, but those two things really kind of annoyed me about it, and it was just a bit of a shame. So there you go.
Okay. Well, let's get into news then. I don't want to say we haven't been playing a lot, because that is quite a lot, but there's still games coming. You know, I'm by the time people heard this, I'll have played Moss, that PSVR game. Can't talk about it yet. Still, you know, that's the way it works. Get ready to pick apart the case with Detective Pikachu, a phenomenal headline by Nick Gillum. Pikachu is a Pokemon, and Detective Pikachu is a game coming in, March 23rd, so just around about a month. And this game got a new trailer, and I still don't know what kind of game it is.
Yeah, like, what is happening?
Because I kind of figured it would be like a Layton game, Professor Layton game. I don't think it is. What is this game? What is it? Why is he talking?
I don't know, but I don't like it.
It's weird.
I'm surprised. Like, he's talking. I actually genuinely thought they were going to have, because who signed up for the movie? Is it Ryan?
Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds.
I thought they might have thrown a couple of lines from him in the game, you know, so it's kind of weird to know that we have the voice actor of the movie, but it's not in the game. It's a completely different guy. And then I look at the trailer, and then I'm the exact same as you, Adam. I'm like, what the fuck is this game?
I mean, I just don't think that trailer shows you what kind of game it is.
Well, we got one piece of gameplay which looked like a QuickTime event where he was jumping from a cliff or something, but like, I don't know. It looks pretty
It doesn't. Yeah, it looks a bit rough, doesn't it?
It looks a bit rough. Like, I know, whatever you can say about DS games, but do you know, at the same time, there's very, very nice DS games as well out there, true 3DS games.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's a bit, like, are your kids going to get it?
Nah, my kids are, well, it is Pokemon. That's a good, I doubt they know it exists.
That's the interesting side of it, is like, will this actually do well?
Probably, because it's Pikachu and Pokemon. I don't know who's making it. Do we know who's making it?
No.
Not offhand, no. I don't know. I did think it would do well, because it's a Pokemon game. I think people would wish it was on Switch, because everyone wishes everything was on Switch.
I feel like this is a situation where they could end up, like, ruining Pikachu.
I don't know about that.
In a weird way, if you think about it, like, for me anyway, when I first heard Sonic talk, I went, oh, God, no. Like, like, not into it. It's the same when, if you ever watched the old Zelda cartoon and stuff.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Link is quite something in that. Do you know what I mean? It does have, even like, I think, well, not really, it's not, but the Mario cartoon, the Super Mario cartoon, not as bad, but like, you know, a voice to a character that you've spent so much time with is a bit weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this could be, I don't know, it's interesting. It's interesting and it's bizarre. That's basically all I can say about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, we'll know soon, I suppose, what kind of game it is, but it's definitely one I'm keeping a sort of just one eye on to see how it goes.
Yeah.
On to Luigi's Balloon World, which is not a new game, but it's an update for Super Mario Odyssey, update 1.2.0. We're, you know, very briefly touch on this. The sort of hide-and-seek balloon mode is now playable. If you hadn't booted up your Switch, you know, for a while, if you hadn't put Super Mario Odyssey, that's what that update is. So you can go and play that. Has anyone tried it?
Not yet.
I love it.
Okay, I keep meaning to. Is it fun, is it?
It is great fun. Like, it is fun, and it's very quick at, you say, if you don't find the balloon as such, you'll be sent back to Luigi, and you can instantly start it again or pick another one, because it goes up in ranks. So you have a rank the more you play it. And it goes with the currency of the coin. So it's almost like if you aim to find this balloon because it's hidden quite well. It will cost you this much money, but the rewards are better.
Right.
If you do find it. So it's kind of it's a gamble. It's a gamble, but it's a lot of fun. I think it's really, really good fun. Like I played it for quite a bit yesterday and I think it's not like it's free. It's a free update.
Yeah.
And I can I would have actually paid £5 for it. Like,
don't tell them that.
I know. But it is fun and it is quite challenging and people have already been just unreal at it. Like, there's some balloons hidden and I'm just like, how the fuck?
Yeah, I saw a video of one and it's like, I don't even understand how this mode works then, because if you're doing that, how the hell's that happening?
Yeah, because I think, I've just been playing the finding part of it loads. And I'd be interested to know what's the story when you do it with friends or whatever. Because when you initially start it, you get to hide your own balloon.
Right.
And I was kind of like, all right, cool. And I just ran out and I kind of hid the balloon in the shittest place. It's like, it was just behind a wall. But I think it's just there now. So I haven't been able to actually do it again and hide it somewhere else. Do you know, I have to figure out that bit because I was having too much fun basically finding the balloons that I haven't set my one properly. But if you do find, because you can pick from a lot of different people, and if you do find my name, don't bother because my balloon, it's not fun. It's just not fun. It's like straight behind a wall. It's crap. There's no challenge.
Do you know something that is fun?
Go on.
I said I don't want to ruin it. I feel like you had more to say, but the segue was too good. I had to take it.
No, go ahead.
Do you know what's really fun?
What's fun, Adam?
Public nudity. Assassin's Creed Origins, that game you two loved, right? Remember that?
Oh,
yeah.
So do you remember they announced this a while ago? We actually did get an invite to go and preview it, but we couldn't go to Assassin's Creed Origins Discovery Tour mode. You know what? So if people don't know what this is, it's basically a mode that lets you kind of, it's a teaching tool, kind of. You get to go around ancient Egypt looking at stuff without the kind of combat part. You know, it's like a tour of the game, which is cool, right? That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
For some reason, they have covered up any penises or nipples or any genitalia whatsoever with, seashells.
What?
Yep.
Fuck it. Why? I don't know.
I mean, you'd have to ask Ubisoft.
I will.
Let's be honest here, lads. A seashell is nicer than a penis.
But is it not?
It's not historically accurate, though, is it? Well, it's not historically accurate, either way.
No, not particularly, but, it's prettier.
I mean, they say beauty's in the eye of the beholder, so let's not hold a mirror up to Adam's
Jesus.
Penis. That's what you're saying.
God.
Jesus.
You always go that little bit farther.
But it's yeah, absolutely, someone has to. But it's weird, though, right? Like, to do this really cool thing, I guess it's probably something to do with, American schools? Or I don't know, even English schools? I don't know. It's definitely a weird thing. Like, we've all got them. You know?
Yeah, I know, but man, look, it's just the way it is. Like, for fuck's sake, it's just, they're not going to allow it. It's just not going to be the way.
Like, whether you're a boy or a girl, just look down and you've got one of them. I'll guarantee
in case you didn't know.
Yeah, I'll guarantee you every one of them knows roughly what one of the other kind looks like as well. And, I hate to break this to you, but men have nipples too. And, men can just take their shirt off and wander around, you know, even if they got, even if they're not, even
they
if,
can just take their nipples off.
Well, they can, yeah, they're detachable nipples. I just think it's really odd. It's just this really cool idea, and it's just it's kind of shooting themselves in the foot that people are talking about this, and we're doing it now. So let's stop and talk about Metal Gear Survive again, because so you start a single player game, and obviously most games you can then, if you just want to start another game, you can just do a new save. Whereas in Metal Gear Survive, to get a second character, you have to pay for the privilege. And I wonder if this is as big a deal as is being made out. To play devil's advocate, does anyone really care?
Not at all.
Okay.
What does it matter? I'm probably only going to ever
play. It's an odd.
Yeah, I know. Why do you need another character, really?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
whatever you do, if you're going to get a new character, just delete the one you've got and you do it again. I'm only going to play the story once, probably. I'm not bothered about creating another one. Nice.
I mean, that is another thing. It's kind of innocuous because, like, there's not many. It's not the kind of game you're going to want to go through loads of times with different characters. Like, there's.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt like there was. I think we said this before, but, like, there was also the thing. As we talked about the KGP nod, there was people reading. You know, the EULA, the EULA, like the legal rights thing. Did you see that people have sort of really read that and found a thing where it's like, this game, by agreeing to this, you will agree that you will not get into relationships with other people who you're playing the game with? And it's like, do you think there's an argument to be made that if that could be in every other EULA, but people aren't reading that because it's not a game they want to find something on? Like, do you ever read the EULA? I'm just going to say EULA. Do you read
Absolutely not.
No, but never. Do you think there's anyone who would sit through Final Fantasy XV's EULA because they're trying to find something? Just another crucifix to nail it to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. And I don't think we've seen the end of this. There's going to be more Metal Gear Survive. It's just a weird thing. Like,
yeah.
Like,
It's kind of, for me, it almost makes out like they're very, very confident in the title.
Yeah.
Like, that they think people are definitely going to want another character slot. Lash that in there, do you know? Fucking. What is it like? Is it 5 quid?
No, it's eight. Yeah. Well, you have to buy, you know, like when you buy points for games like V-Bucks or whatever, like for Fortnite, you have to buy X amount of them. You can't buy a specific amount. You can't buy exact amount. It's just, is it, in a weird way, is it a publisher just being completely honest with you? Where a lot of publishers hide behind like things and don't tell the truth, is this just kind of Konami going, we just don't give a fuck? Like, we don't give a fuck, lads. Whereas everyone else, it doesn't let that show. You know what I mean?
Mm.
I don't know. Speaking of not giving a fuck, Final Fantasy 15. I don't fully understand this, but if you buy it on Steam,
I don't either.
Which is coming out soon, you can play as Gordon Freeman's outfit. You can be Gordon Freeman. I'm reading this from Eurogamer. Put down your money for a copy and you'll unlock Gordon Freeman's legendary outfit at no extra charge from Steam Workshop. The pack includes Half-Life Hero's suit, scientist glasses, and crowbar. And there's pictures. And
legendary outfit.
It's
so weird. It's so weird when you, like, if you see the pictures and stuff, you're like, what the fuck?
What are they playing at?
But then, I suppose, look. No, I suppose. I was going to say, does that mean Half-Life 3 is coming?
No, it doesn't.
It definitely doesn't. But I like. I always like to think and hope. But it's weird, man. It's especially. Why Final Fantasy?
Yeah, well, because it's coming to Steam, I suppose. But even then, what? Well, look.
What?
I've got nothing. But I not to move us along too quickly. But we're talking about a lot of weird stuff. A Sonic the Hedgehog movie is coming out at the end of this year. Sorry, no, it's not. End of next year, November 2019. What?
Yeah, I know. Like. I need to open this headline because if I'm right, if I'm right, is the person producing it the guy who did Deadpool?
He's the he's the director of the Tim Miller. He's executive producer.
Yeah, he's like when I saw this, I went, oh, for the love of Christ, do we really need this? And look, I thought Deadpool was great. I really enjoyed it. What does that mean? Does that mean that we're going to get a kind of a violent Sonic the Hedgehog, a vulgar Sonic the Hedgehog?
Oh, God, are we just going to get?
Or are we just going to get Sonic the Hedgehog? Because if I'm honest, I want a vulgar Sonic the Hedgehog movie. Because that would be mad.
I mean, it's going to be a mix of CGI and live action, which is the thing that makes me go, ugh. Like, kind of pick one. I think for this, don't. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, you don't need it.
I don't know that it needs to be.
It's mad though. Like a Sonic movie and a new Mario movie coming out. It's.
Do they still think there's a competition? This is what I'm left thinking. Do Sega still think that Sonic is as big as Mario, like it was in the old days? Like, do they, like Mario, we're making a film, and Sega gone, oh, we're making one too, actually, as it happens. You know, like, do you know what I mean? You know,
will I have it as well?
We're big too. Yeah. Well, my dad's bigger. You know, it's like, do they? They don't surely think that Sonic's still this force of the games industry, do they?
I hope not. Because it isn't.
Well, I kind of hope they do, because that could make this movie an absolute car crash. Like a Sonic the Hedgehog movie in 2019 that is like full of bravado and we're the hot shit could be incredible viewing. Couldn't it? No, it couldn't.
Well, it could be, but I don't think it needs to be. I'd like it to be violent. I'd like it to be over the top.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't want this for kids.
that would be amazing. Yeah.
It's weird though. Like just to go off of what you're saying there with Sega thinking like, oh yeah, we're still blah 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 whatever. Like Sonic's in such a weird place. And it has been for a long time. I think you've gone over that a lot of times before I was even on this podcast. But like, I think they just don't want to give up. They don't want to give up on Sonic. They still find like a lot of love for it, and I'm kind of like, fair enough. But you're fucking breaking fans' hearts, like bar like Sonic Mania wasn't really. Did that have much to do with Sega as such?
Well, I mean, they owned Sonic, but it was kind of a fan thing that they let you know.
Look, either way. I'll be there to watch it.
And I think I will too.
Do you know, that's just how it is.
Well, will you be watching it in 10 years? Because that's how long Ubisoft say that Rainbow Six Siege are going to be around. This is a weird story. There's just so many strange things. Like, why even say this, you know? But
yeah, it's been a weird week for news. Let's just put that out there.
It has,
okay?
Yeah.
But Siege around for 10 years...
Well, the quote is, we are saying extremely loudly there is no sequel planned. We will be here for the next 10 years, so expect more Rainbow Six in your life for quite some time. There you go.
Like, I couldn't play a game for 10 years.
I don't think anyone would. I mean, what game what game has done... I mean, World of Warcraft, right? Name another one. 10
it's
years.
Been World of Warcraft and Diablo. Is
Team
the ones
Fortress? CSGO, maybe? 10 years?
Yeah.
Maybe 10 years?
Maybe.
Like, I don't know, man. Like, look, Siege is doing really well, as we all know. If they are confident in the content that they have planned, then that's great for fans of the game. But, like, Jesus, like, how far can they go over 10 years, do you know?
Mm.
Like, surely... If they do go for 10 years, we're going to see a very dated-looking game at that point.
Well, exactly. It'd be on a different console to what we're playing now. Probably.
Exactly, do you know? So, it is just a weird statement, but I think it's kind of more like, look, we're not fucking making another game, but look, we'll do this for this length of time. But then we're not really going to do that for that length of time. Who knows? But, yeah, bizarre.
And do you know who is making another game?
Who?
the enthusiasm is off the charts.
There's too many games.
Sweary, the person who's sort of the auteur behind Deadly Premonition and D4 Dark Dreams Don't Die, has teased his new project, which is called The Missing. It's going to launch this year, and he's put a new video out. It's a very strange chap. I actually interviewed him many years ago. Really, really nice guy.
Really?
Yeah. He's like a just gen. He kind of. The persona out there is him. Like it's just a real nice guy, kind of sweet, kind of a bit off kilter, you know, a bit mad, but do we know any much about The Missing?
Nothing.
Because he had a Kickstarter. Was it Kickstarter? I think a Kickstarter for a game called The Good Life that failed. I think twice. No, I think it failed. So I think it failed once, and he's going to kickstart it again.
Oh Jesus!
Yeah, but this is a different game. This is The Missing.
I'm going to say right now that I am a massive Deadly Premonition fan.
Okay.
The game is an absolute travesty, but I loved it. Right?
Yep.
I think it's hilarious. This look, I don't know what it's about. I've no idea. But I watched the video. He's holding a fucking teddy bear of some sort.
Monkey. Yeah.
A monkey teddy bear. He's surrounded by loads of weird stuff in the video, and he says in the video that this game will blow our minds. And
good enough.
And I'm like, I am sold. Yep. I'll see you day one.
Oh, you keep doing it, Adam. Speaking of day one,
I didn't mean that.
Whoa, I know. No, I don't think anyone's meant it, but it's just flowing so beautifully. I'm going to take that bait. Are any of you not day one for the worst kept secret in the industry that Burnout Paradise Remastered is real? It's coming to Xbox One and PS4 in March this year.
Shit.
Yeah.
Day one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I think it's an incredible game.
Yep.
Oh, it's awesome.
And also, adding to that, they've also stated that there's going to be no microtransactions of any kind.
This is the EA redemption arc, then. This is the first step in the redemption arc for EA. They need to now make good, and they need to now remake Mass Effect 1, which is remake that, and also SSX, and that's the three steps before then the fourth one, which is announcing Skate 4, and everyone loves EA again, right? They'll do all that, right? Oh, right?
Skate 4.
Yeah, SSX.
Skate 4, I'm sure I read something this week about Skate 4.
No, you've imagined that, mate. That's just a fever dream. There's no Skate 4.
Skate 4 could be coming after all, according to new retail listings.
Well, it would be a good E3 announcement, wouldn't it?
It would.
But listen, Burnout Paradise. 4K and 60fps on PS4 Pro and Xbox One X. There's some stuff about that game I don't know if people remember, though. I wonder what they'll do. Do you remember the camera stuff in this game?
No.
So in the if you had a, I think what was it called, Xbox Live? I was Xbox 360 at that point. I think it's called Xbox Live Vision Camera. The little square camera looked like a webcam. If you had that hooked up, you could use it to take a photo of your driving license at the start of the game. But also, if you played multiplayer online, when you crashed into someone, it took a photo of you. So they got a photo of your reaction when you smashed the fuck out of them.
And, like, that's brilliant.
I wonder. Because, you know, Kinect, if it had taken off, there'd be that, and there's the PS camera for PSVR, so they could leave it in, and it was a very underused feature, and it may remain a very underused feature, but I kind of hope it's complete. They've said the soundtrack's, obviously, I reckon this game's taken this long because they had to get the rights from Guns N' Roses. I genuinely do. I think that there would have been legal wrangles to get Paradise City. I really do think, because you can't release Burnout Paradise without Paradise City in it. You can't.
Yeah,
because I always said at the time, I reckon the people behind Burnout had a game, they had the idea for a game, like, oh, this is amazing, right? What about if we get Guns N' Roses Paradise City, and that's the game? And they're like, wait, what? Oh, it's a racing game, it's a Burnout game. Yeah, but the idea is it starts with Burnout, you know, Paradise, it's Burnout Paradise. Okay, yeah, go for it, because, like, development was different back then. But I feel like, you know, you have to have the song. And
yeah, do it.
You know,
do
it. Oh no, I mean, it's in the trailer, so it's like, but I but this, people are port begging for this as well. Like, oh yeah, well, you know, so there's this amazing news, one of the best, most beloved driving games of all time is gonna, it's happening. The thing we've been asking for is happening. And within 5 minutes I was saying, well, the only sad thing, of course, is that it's not on Switch. Fucking what? It's on the other consoles. Nobody owns just a Switch. Nobody owns just a Switch. Nobody that cares enough about this game being remade just owns only a Switch. Play it on one of the other consoles, you'll be fine. You know?
Yeah, it's also, like, if I'm honest, Burnout is like this one anyway, the remastered version of it. It's one of those games that you want to be playing on the most powerful console you can get.
Damn right, Adam.
Because, like, the crashes and stuff are just, that's what it's about. It's like,
yep.
The way that camera pans around and your car is just crushed, it looks amazing. It always had that great feeling. You want that clarity, crystal clear.
Yep.
When it comes out, you know. So if it comes to Switch, yeah, it'd be fun, but it won't be powerful enough to capture that madness.
Do you think DJ Atomica is going to be? I know they say they've untouched the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Will DJ Atomica be there? It'd have to be, right? Because that would be too, you know, it'd have to be. You just have to be.
Yeah. I don't think there's going to be, I think everything's going to be here.
Yep.
The thing about it is, have they announced a price?
£35. Pound, whoa. Yeah, UK pounds. So $50, that's $40.
That's really decent. Because I honestly thought, like, it was going to be a full price game.
No, it's not. It's 35, I think. Sorry.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm very excited, and it's amazing because there's, like, when this was announced, everyone was excited.
Yep.
Like, now I did see one or two people go, oh, Burnout 3 is the best one. Why didn't they bring out that? And it's like, oh, go away. But like, yeah, it's going to be really cool, I think.
The EA redemption arc starts here. Microsoft, yeah. Let's end on a couple of Microsoft things. Just to quickly touch upon it, it's not a huge amount we can say about it, but Vanquish, the Sega and Platinum Games Vanquish, is now backwards compatible on Xbox One. And they released it on PC last year sometime.
I'm a big fan of that
game. Yeah, I think everyone is, isn't they?
I've never played it.
Well, that sounds like a feature to
me,
Chris.
Maybe I can now,
yeah. Sounds like a feature begging to be recorded, doesn't it?
It sure does.
But let's, sticking with Microsoft, like, you know, they've announced Games for Gold, Games with Gold for March, and a really good month. Really good month. Trials of the Blood Dragon isn't a very good game, but it's free. But Super Hot is a very good game, and that's with Games with Gold for March. That's March 16th to April the 15th. Super Hot is going to be within the program. That's, in fact, just for the record as well, like Quantum Conundrum is also there, and a backwards compatible game. That's March 16th to 31st. That's also quite a good game. Quite a good game. Hmm. But yeah, Super Hot. Excited?
Well, I've just played it, so no.
Oh.
Fair enough. Not on Xbox, on VR, because I forgot to tell you, I will be getting I'm borrowing a PSVR unit for a bit, so very I'm going nice. To be playing the shit out of that.
You'll be so,
yeah, you're gonna lose your mind.
Yeah, I'm well looking forward to it.
That game in VR is just it's the business.
It's special. Yeah. Listener correspondence. I think this first question, Darren at ROTMM, I think he thinks this one's going to take longer than it is. So I've got an answer for both of his questions, but I'm not going to answer first because it'll be very short. He says, this might be a slightly loaded question, but which, if any, of the following consumer-focused moves do you think Microsoft would have done away with if they were winning this gen? Okay. Digital refunds, backwards compatibility, game gifting, play anywhere, cross-play, Game Pass that includes exclusives day one. If they were winning this gen, if they were in Sony's position, which of them would they not have done?
Digital refunds.
Okay.
It's a fucking good question. I'm looking at them. It's hard. It's really hard to pick one, but I would say digital refunds probably is the one. Backwards compatibility?
So the reason I said I thought it'd be an easy question to answer is because I think all of them. I don't think you don't see the winner making concessions. The only thing I would say is backwards compatibility was probably in the works from before the console was announced. But generally speaking, I don't think they would have put they've been, all these moves are incredibly, as he says, consumer focused. They're trying to make themselves look appealing to the consumer. You don't see that unless you're trying to curry favor with people, do you?
No.
But I think the you know, the opposite question he also asks is, what pro consumer moves do you think Sony would have taken if they weren't the one killing it with competition in sales? Like, what do you think Sony would have done to do
backwards compatibility?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Yeah, I think that is probably the one. And the other thing as well, it's a very minor one that keeps coming up in the news, is that they're doing surveys about changing your username on PlayStation. I think they would have done that sooner. I think that's a very difficult thing, that the problem. There must be some deep issue that they can't do that easily, because it's an easy win. But I think if they were behind, that would have been something that would have been their E3 and you can do it now kind of thing. You know, if they were that far behind, they would have had to come up with some little things. You know, I actually do think they would have probably done a Game Pass style thing if they needed to.
Do you think there's still hope that they will put out backwards compatibility?
No, I don't think they will.
Yeah.
I don't think they need to, because they've got their what's it called?
PS Now.
Yeah, where you can stream games, and I think because they bought Gaikai, if you remember correctly.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that would be a hefty investment to then say, actually, forget all that, stick your old discs in. I don't think they can do it. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird because I feel like Microsoft feel they have to do something like this every E3, and I think they're running out of ideas. What else can you do? You know, they've now literally said, look. Don't even bother buying Sea of Thieves. Just give us a subscription and you can play it anywhere for free anyway, whatever. Just play it, just buy our fucking stuff. You know, what more can they do? Gary Bailey, who can just ask us the question. You know, Gaz, you don't have to write into the podcast. You're on it usually. But he says here's one for you, nice and simple. If you could choose a non-game IP to adapt into a game, what would it be? And to make it a little more complicated, who would you want to make the game? So a game, something that's not a game.
Oh, Jesus.
That's Christ. Not that simple.
No, it's not.
Right, so
take plenty of time with this, Chris.
If this is a stipulation or not. What about a non-game IP that has had a game a long time ago, but I would like to see it come back with a new developer?
Go on.
Right, I've been championing this for a while, and I've even tweeted 2000 AD and Rocksteady. I'd probably do it every like half a year. I want to see a Judge Dredd game made by Rocksteady, because I just think that would be fucking awesome. However, I don't think Judge Dredd's big enough to warrant that. But I'd love to see a Judge Dredd game with an open world for Mega City 1 with all the kind of characters in there made by Rocksteady. Failing that, Thundercats. Because Thundercats has never had a game made.
What about a Rick and Morty shooter or an Archer game by Telltale?
Yeah, Telltale, I could see. I'd worry that if it was like an action game, they'd just fuck it up like they did with Family Guy.
No, but what if Platinum Games made a Rick and Morty game?
Well, that'd be just insane.
That's kind of the point. Hang on. Rick and Morty has got a game as well, the VR game.
Oh.
But that does, he doesn't say they can't have another one. It's just non-game IP to adapt into a game.
It's not an IP, is it? It's like an experience kind of thing.
Yeah. Adam, anything you can think of? Something that you like?
I'm struggling. Yeah. I'm struggling.
Yeah.
Like, it's not...
EastEnders Telltale.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. Or bring El Dorado back as a Telltale.
Oh my God.
I know what Gary wants me to say. I know what he wants me to say. Red Dwarf.
Oh man, don't. That'd be amazing.
You know, there's a lot of lore, a lot of universe. Red Dwarf. I don't know who'd make it.
Where's Red Dwarf?
I don't think anyone would. I don't know who'd make it. I don't think it'd be profitable.
Microtransactions to get a load of cat suits. Yeah. I'd love a Red Dwarf game.
Yeah. I genuinely can't think of one. I'm going to have to sit on this and maybe come back next week.
Okay. Right. Lane360, this says, should I play through Halo Wars 2 or Battle Chasers first? And I suppose this question is only really pertinent if Gary is on the pod. Moving on.
I feel like we should
Halo Wars 2 is good.
I've not played either, but I like Halo.
I like the look of Battle Chasers, though.
But let's say Halo Wars 2, Adam, just to annoy Gary, because he likes Battle Chasers.
But I like the look of Battle Chasers, though.
No, but let's say Halo Wars 2 to annoy Gary, because Gary's not here. We can pick on him. Come on.
But I like to look at Battle Chasers.
Sure, okay, fair enough. Chris Hyde at ChrisHyde83 says, following the disappointing Secret of Mana remake, do you think remakes of games that are old, 25 years or so, can ever be successfully remade? Always seems a conflict between remaining faithful and making an old game relevant.
Shadow of the Colossus. If it's a full-on remake, I think there's a lot of scope for a lot of games, like we're talking about Metal Gear. I think when they just like do a shoddy kind of upgrade or whatever, I don't really care for them. I don't see the point, especially if they're kind of relatively recent anyway. But like Shadow of the Colossus is a prime example at the minute where it has had a completely like new look, but it's still the same game at heart. I think there's definitely a market for that still. Definitely.
I do hope that like whenever it happens, that I'll be able to answer this question and go, yes, Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
But I just can't. I don't really think that's going to be the case.
Yeah.
I think the Secret of Mana situation is just, it's just weird. It's unfortunate in a way, because like I haven't played it yet, but like I've looked enough into it to see the stuff that I don't like that they've done with it. Like my biggest gripe is just the art. I don't like the art style of the remake.
No, I don't like the art or the voices.
Yeah, I just think it's odd. And even when if you look at gameplay of the original, it still just looks amazing. And I'm like, fuck it. Like, you know, I think some games like just don't need to be touched. And I think there's a lot of those like JRPG kind of ones that they just they always kind of stand the test of time, really. Like, in some cases, maybe there might be elements of the gameplay and stuff that don't do as well in, down the line, but like, visually, they're always still so good, and there's a lot of weirdness that was... They tried something. They tried it, obviously.
Yeah.
They tried it different. And I know Final Fantasy VII is very different as well, and that's going to be a fucking big talking point when that comes around. Yeah, like, oh, man, I think we're going to fucking have to hide or something, because I'd say people are going to be pissed off. But I'd like to think that it comes out and it's a massive success, because remakes of games are like, if you're going to bring them out, whatever, I think it's cool, and Shadow of the Colossus is a prime example. Like, I probably wouldn't have played that game any time, really, down the line, if it wasn't for that remake coming out. And that's the massive benefit of them. So even if they're going to be crap, it's good for them to come out, because they could still be amazing. And even if there's nothing done to it, you still have people who haven't played these games. So I don't know. I think they should happen. But Secret of Mana is just an unfortunate situation.
Is there an argument to be made that every time we get like a new Street Fighter, that's kind of a remake? Because Street Fighter 2, you throw a fireball. Street Fighter 5, you throw a fireball. Now, obviously, that's reductive, massively so. But is there an argument to be made that really, fighting games in that respect, while they evolve and they get better looking and they get deeper and more, just more...
Mm.
Are they not kind of remaking that original? Or am I reaching?
I wouldn't say so, if I'm honest, because like, I don't play fighting games, but like, I don't know. That's like picking any...
Yeah, well, to say it's Breath of the Wild, kind of a remake of the first Zelda.
Jesus.
Do you know what I mean? I'm really devil's advocating it to the... Yeah. You know, I'm just trying to think of a remake. I'm trying to think of like a really good remake. Because, you know, Resident when you're talking Evil. That old... Yeah, but when you're talking 25 years, we're talking going back to like the NES and the Spectrum, and, you know, that's a long time. I mean, you know, I would argue that the game Bully that everyone loves is a remake of School Days on the Spectrum. Like, now, I don't know that there's a single person listening to this podcast, and I'm not even convinced either of you would know what Bully, you know, School Days was. But it was essentially you play a kid in a school, and you're kind of, it's rough in, you know, and you wander around the school doing stuff and trolling people and going to lessons and whatever. I'd say that Bully was the reimagining of School Days and its sequel. And that was a Spectrum game, that then this is a 360 game. And like, you know, I think there's not many ideas from 25 years ago that if you remade them now, you could just get away with remaking without actually adding something to. I don't think you could just take Galaga and remake it as it is and people would go, oh, man. I think people go, well, this is a bit shite. I mean, I tell you what, Pac-Man is a great example. Pac-Man is Championship Edition Deluxe Plus, came out on Switch. I've been playing it. It's wonderful. It takes the core concept of Pac-Man and just adds and adds and adds to it, and it's such a really cool game. It's not a remake, but it also kind of is. It's a reimagining, I suppose. You know, it's doable. It's
same when Bomberman.
Yeah,
Bomberman was quite similar.
Yeah,
like it's weird, right? Because I think deep down we all do realize that like remaking a classic game is probably one of the hardest things, because you either take a load of risks or you just do a carbon copy and just give it an upgrade in its visuals. Like we were just saying about Metal Gear Solid earlier on, like how we want that.
Yeah. Even that's not that far back. That's PlayStation 1. You know, if you say in 25 years, we're talking... Like, when was Syndicate made, the original Syndicate? What platform was that on? Because that got remade, didn't it? EA made that for Xbox 360. So, you know, it does happen, but I just can't remember when... You know, we're talking that old long ago. We're talking games like Attic Attack, you know? It just...
Okay, so what? Like Alex Kidd
kind
of,
yeah. That's 25 years ago. That's what we're talking, yeah.
Because like, I take one of them.
I mean, Wonder Boy. When was that? That was a Master System game that ended up on PS4.
Master System, yeah. 89.
So there you go. It does happen, and that was really well reviewed. It can happen, but I think he nails it. He says there's always a conflict between remaining faithful and making an old game. If you remain faithful, great. All the people who bought it, who are in their 40s now, love it, but new people aren't interested.
Yeah.
You know?
See, it's games like that, like games that old as well, you see. There's a massive nostalgic attachment as well involved. So that can be ruined very easily. And I think that's where, I don't know, if you're going that far back, then I think maybe they should just stay the way they are because of the nostalgic fact.
Well, that's all the time we have for the podcast this week. Thank you ever so much for listening. Just a quick reminder, if you want the extended version and to get it a couple of days early, patreon.com/godisageek. You get loads of videos when they're done rather than when we publish them. You get this podcast earlier and longer. It's patreon.com/godisageek, $1 a month. So for $1 a month, you'll get at least, depending on the month, 4 podcasts longer and earlier. We reckon probably over 4 episodes, you're going to get about an hour of extra podcasts. So, you know, that's pretty good. You know, $1, 1 hour almost. Obviously, youtube.com/GodAsAGeek. And also, just go to Google, type God as a Geek, then followed by Twitter, Facebook, whatever. Or just GodAsAGeek.com, and you'll find everything you need to know about our beloved site. Chris is found at FirstAvenger83. Adam is at AdamZokes. I am at Deepa7, of course, at God as a Geek on Twitter. Guys, thank you very much for being here this week.
Thank you.
Absolutely, thank you.
Adam, I'm glad that you're safe and sound where you are now, in your mysterious new home that people can only find out about if they listen via Patreon. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.